Good afternoon. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, October 25th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Live on stage in Northwest Arkansas presents Legacy of Floyd Kramer, featuring grandson Jason Coleman, Sunday, October 28th at 2 p.m. in the Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. This performance will include a nostalgic lineup of country, pop, and easy listening standards, including many of Kramer's own hits. Tickets and more information are available by calling 855-9997 or visit the web, liveonstagenwa.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the Razorback Greenway gets closer to completion, the 20th Century Literature Club celebrates a centennial, and hats off to the Rogers Historical Museum. Before all of that, this reminder, this is the fall on-air fundraiser for KUAF, a time when we make it particularly easy for you to contribute to your public radio station. 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
In the old days, families gathered around a huge radio in the living room to be entertained or informed. Today, radio is more of an individualized experience, often through a set of earbuds, a laptop, or a smartphone. Public radio still has an unparalleled ability to connect people through sound, ideas, meaningful stories, and reliable information to connect people right here in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. Public radio is a connector worth preserving. You can connect with us now by calling. Call to contribute. Call 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or contribute online at supportkuaf.com.
Rhonda and Katie, who were on the air for the past couple of hours, were very successful in meeting a new contributor challenge, and we're going to see if we can be as successful, Christina.
Let's do it.
Okay. Ro DeBrezzo, great friend of KUAF, has put up $250 to encourage new contributions to KUAF. So if during this hour of Ozarks at Large we hear from $250 worth of new contributors, perhaps five people at 50, two at 100, one at 50.
One at 250 and can start a new challenge.
Well, that's true as well. I like that positive outlook. Ro will match the $250 and it will be worth $500 to KUAF. Now, you may have been a contributor in the past and it's time for you to renew that contribution. You can do that as well easily. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. One of the things I think we're proudest of, and I think I can speak for our colleagues who also work on Ozarks at Large, is the breadth of topics and locations that we cover, try to cover every day on Ozarks at Large.
We do. I mean, today we have Fayetteville, Bentonville.
Right.
And Rogers.
Right.
Where else?
Well, we go to Evergreen Cemetery.
Right.
We're going to hear that
a
little bit later when you talk to a couple of the members of the 20th Century Literature Club. We try, you know, some things that are in our first segment here in just a moment include news from Van Buren and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We try to get as much of the KUAF listening area into every edition of Ozarks at Large as we can. We've been able to do that and do it more consistently because of past support of public radio.
Right, right. I mean, we are able to. I mean, we have we have more staff now.
Right.
And it's because of contributions. So.
And we've been able to, over the years, increase our signal as well as create the smartphone app that lets you hear KUAF anywhere you are in the world and KUAF 2 and KUAF 3 and keep the programs that you enjoy, like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Talk of the Nation. If this is important radio for you, if this is part of your lifestyle, please remember all of these features cost money. 800-522-5823.
Or supportkuaf.com.
And thank you. This is Ozarks at Large. A group of doctors is voicing opposition to a medical marijuana proposal that is on Arkansas's ballot on November 6th. Members of the Physician Coalition Against Medical Marijuana spoke yesterday afternoon in Little Rock, saying that the measure has not been adequately researched. Dr. David Smith with Baptist Health Medical Center says he deals with patients suffering from pain every day and doesn't believe this is the solution.
When we get something from someone's garden or some loose group of medications, we don't know what's in it. We have enough problems in the hospital with knowing what people bring in. And you add that to another level with an addictive drug, you've got even more problems.
Several supporters of Issue 5 were at the press conference yesterday. Eric Camp suffers from AIDS and says he believes marijuana offers solid benefits.
I'm here for my partner that died 10 years ago, who would not let me go get him some medical marijuana because he was scared I'd get arrested. He suffered. And these doctors that don't even specialize in any of the conditions listed in this law, you know, this is political. It's not medical. It's not medical. Listen to your patients.
Another supporter says there are at least 75 Arkansas doctors who support medical marijuana, but are afraid of losing their jobs if they publicly support the proposal.
Yesterday, the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville released the 2012 Arkansas poll. The poll, conducted by the Diane Blair Center of Southern Politics, found that Mitt Romney leads President Barack Obama by more than 20 points in Arkansas. But more than 70% of those polled approve of the job that Governor Mike Beebe is doing. Additionally, 53% of those polled are in favor of enacting this half-cent state highway tax, while 53% are against legalizing medical marijuana. Other poll questions found that Arkansans are most concerned about the economy and health care, with each issue being ranked as a top concern for 47% and 15% of poll respondents, respectively.
Drivers who regularly travel Interstate 40 near Van Buren should be aware of a lane closure today. According to a release from the Arkansas State Highway and Transportation Department, westbound outside lane of I-40 will be closed until 3 this afternoon as crews paint an overpass on Highway 60 that crosses the interstate. The department asks that motorists exercise caution when approaching and traveling through the highway work zones.
Although it seems like the mass of motorcycles just left town, this morning dates were announced for next year's Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue. The annual motorcycle rally will be held in Fayetteville and the surrounding area beginning September 18th through September 21st. The dates have been finalized now that the SEC football schedule is firmly in place. On the weekend of the rally, the Razorbacks will play Rutgers in
Piscataway,
New Jersey.
The men's Razorback golf team finished its fall season Tuesday at the Isleworth Country Club in Florida. Team finished 7th, 15 teams in the Isleworth Collegiate Invitational. Senior Austin Cook finished the tournament tied for 9th place, his highest finish for the fall season, and the third time in 5 tournaments he's led the Razorbacks. Though the team is finished with play this fall, the Razorbacks will return to the Lynx as a team in early February when they compete in the Gator Invitational in Gainesville, Florida.
A 70% chance for rain will be ending soon, clearing off later this afternoon with highs from 77 to 81. There's a 20% chance for rain this evening, with overnight lows from 34 to 41. Sunny for your Friday, but cooler, with highs in the lower 50s. Clear Friday night, overnight lows from 28 to 35. Sunny again Saturday, with highs from 55 to 59, and very chilly Saturday evening. Lows from 25 to 32.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Razorback Greenway, a 36-mile stretch of trail that will eventually connect Fayetteville to Bentonville and pass through Johnson, Springdale, Lowell, and Rogers, will take a big step toward completion tomorrow. A major corridor of the trail from North Bentonville to South Rogers will be officially open tomorrow morning. This morning, I talked with Anita Sism, the president and CEO of the Endeavor Foundation, a major champion of the Razorback Greenway, about tomorrow's somewhat unconventional and somewhat interactive ribbon cutting.
Tomorrow's event is going to begin at 11 a.m. on the Bentonville Square, with remarks from Mayor McCaslin and some others that are involved in the Greenway project. And then the mayor is going to lead a group of 100 cyclists, including 40 students from Lincoln Junior High, on a bike ride from the Bentonville Square to what's now known as the Bridge to the Future in Rogers. And then Mayor Hines in Rogers and others will welcome the cyclists as they cross the finish line at the Bridge to the Future.
It's called the Bridge to the Future. Many people who might not know what we're talking about, it's along, if you drive along I-540, there's been this bridge as you get to Rogers, and the bridge was there before any of the trails connecting either side. So some people thought it was the Bridge to Nowhere, but now it is a connection.
It certainly is a connection.
What the Endeavor Foundation, why involved in the Greenway project?
Well, we're supporting this announcement because it relates to a new Healthy Active Living initiative, which is being called Energize Northwest Arkansas. And Energize Northwest Arkansas is building a coalition of leaders and activities to make the healthy choice the easy choice. And this Greenway makes it easy to be active. So we're excited to be a part of it. Energize Northwest Arkansas will officially be launched in January at a summit. And we hope that if anyone is, you know, the people that are listening today, if you work at a business along the section of the trail, that you'll come out and even cheer the cyclists along the route. And we're really looking forward to this, and we'd really like to thank a lot of people for making the Greenway and this regional celebration possible.
And we're not that far away from the total completion of the Greenway, are we?
No, it should be finished by the end of 2013, and we hope to be able, we look forward actually to opening additional sections and having fun along those as well.
Anita, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kyle.
Anita Sism is the president and CEO of the Endeavor Foundation, and talked to me this morning about tomorrow's ribbon cutting for a major part of the Razorback Greenway. That ribbon cutting begins at the Bentonville Square tomorrow morning at 11 and ends in Rogers tomorrow afternoon at 12:15. For more information about the Greenway, you can go to razorbackgreenway.com. And for more information about the Endeavor Foundation, endeavorfoundation.net.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and with me on the phone is Dr. Gabe Land, director of the Rogers Historical Museum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
And we're talking today because you have a new exhibit called, what is it called?
It's called To Cap It All Off. Just opened this past Saturday.
And it's about hats?
It is about hats. Actually, our curator of collections was the one who put the exhibit together, and I had forgotten just how many interesting hats we did have in our collection until I saw them on display. And we also have some really fun examples of hats from the on loan from the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History as well.
Did the curator just kind of realize, oh, we have all these hats laying around? Let's actually put them together and form one exhibit.
Yes, that was a part of it, and I think it was really spurred by the fact that we got a collection of hats that had belonged to a longtime school teacher here in Rogers, the late Grace Hill, not too long ago. And, of course, we had a variety of hats.
So do you have current hats as well?
Well, we do have a small area that's set aside for international hats, and there are some contemporary ones in there. We have some examples of hats from the Marshall Islands, for example, and from Southeast Asia.
So do you have a favorite hat, or is there one that is the most, you know, kind of unique?
I don't know that I would call it my favorite, but I think one that's very interesting is one that is a hat that is an entire pheasant on top of a woman's head.
So it's not just feathers?
It's not just feathers, no. It's the bird with the head.
What's the story? Do you know the story behind that?
Well, in the late 1800s and into the early 1900s, feathers and even entire birds were just very popular on hats, and you see quite a few examples of those. And it was actually became such a problem in terms of hurting the bird population that they began to restrict use of certain migratory birds or the use of their feathers in hat making.
How interesting. I mean, feathers in birds are very, I mean, they're pretty, for sure.
They
very
are,
pretty.
But when you see the whole bird there, it's a little peculiar.
You know, we talk about all these old hats. People don't really wear hats like they used to. You know, guys wear baseball caps or, I mean, women do too. But, you know, and on, I guess, what is it, the Kentucky Derby Day, where women, you know, pull out the big hats. But I don't really feel like people wear hats like they used to.
They really don't. And, you know, I think the 1960s was sort of an interesting time in terms of hat wearing. In the 50s, women had begun to wear hats a little bit less, but, you know, Jackie Kennedy, the First Lady, made the pillbox popular. And so for women in the 60s, hats enjoyed a little bit of a renaissance, and then they began to fade away again in the 70s. You know, her husband, President Kennedy, was known for not wearing a hat. That really influenced men, and you just don't see, you know, once any businessman walking down the street would have had, you know, usually a fedora was the popular style right. by the, you know, the 40s and the 50s, would have had a hat on. And now you just don't see that, as you say, other than when it's really, really cold, you mm-hmm. see hats warm, you know, some type of hat warm for warmth, or, you know, the ubiquitous ball cap.
Well, but people will be wearing hats tonight.
People will be wearing hats. You know, October 25th is the anniversary of the founding of the museum, and for the past few years we've been having some type of celebration every year, and this year we're having what we call a Mad Hatter's Mingle, and that's going to be a celebration of our anniversary and also of the hat exhibit. So,
okay, and where can people find out more information about the Rogers Museum?
You can find more information by calling 621-1154 or go to our website. It's rogersarkansas.com/museum.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bland.
Well, thank you.
All right.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And this is the KUAF On Air fundraiser for October 2012, a chance for you to call in your pledge of support of public radio, both international and local. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. You can also contribute online pretty easily at supportkuaf.com. Everywhere you go, almost everywhere you go, I should say, you see headlines. If you are in the checkout line at the grocery store,
definitely
headlines. I filled up the car with gas the other day, and there is, at certain gas stations, there is a screen right there with 15 to 20 second headlines. And if you're online at all, you get headlines all the time. Your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop, your desk computer. There's that push service, New York Times or Washington Post or USA Today. If you subscribe, they'll just push you like a text message.
I get those.
Yes. It's not hard to keep up with the headlines. We've established that. It's understanding the issues behind the headlines that gets a little bit tougher. That's why you tune into KUAF. We bring you the headlines. You can hear the headlines throughout the day. But even more importantly, we bring you insights and background on the stories of the day. You depend on us throughout the day for coverage that has depth and intelligence. We depend on you for the funding we need to keep all of that going, both stories of international importance and stories that are happening down the street. Call KUAF right now with your contribution, 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823, or you can go online to supportkuaf.com.
If you've never contributed before, now is the time to do so. We're under a new contributor challenge. And thanks to Ro DeBrezzo of Fayetteville, she is challenging you, new contributors, to call in right now. And she will match your contribution, a contribution of any amount up to $250.
Right.
So $5, it'll be 10.
It is 10. It's 20. Well, you get the idea.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Right. So, anyways, and to do so, 575-5823, 1-800-522-5823, or supportkuaf.com. Broadcasting the news is the most expensive programming there is. To do it right requires a commitment to cover news locally and regionally, like we do with Ozarks, nationally and internationally with NPR News. Keeping a staff of experienced journalists benefits you because you gain their insight and knowledge. Keeping this staff of experienced journalists costs a great deal of money. By paying your fair share, you can benefit from their reporting. If we all contribute a little, we can gain a lot. Call now with your contribution, 575-5823 or 1-800-522-5823 or supportkuaf.com. And if you do call, Paul Corlett of Hinesville is in our conference center waiting to answer your phone call. And he made his contribution today. He's a renewing member.
That's great.
Double duty.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So many people have come in to answer phones for us, many of them getting up before the sun starts to shine. Excuse me. Many of them staying till almost the sun goes down. It's going down earlier and earlier this time of year. We appreciate everyone who's called in. We also appreciate the restaurants from the area, like Greenhouse Grill and U.S. Pizza Company and Ozark Natural Foods, just three of the restaurants that have helped with our phone volunteers. We do appreciate everyone making sure this is a good fundraiser for us. If it's a good fundraiser, that means it's a good fundraiser for you, too, because you'll be able to hear Talk of the Nation, Fresh Air, and Prairie Home Companion for months and years to come. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also support us online quickly, easily, and securely at
supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we find her grave. I have to go down that stump. Okay, we need to take a right here. Gotta walk right up here to where it says Humphreys.
Yes, we are in a cemetery. Though it's almost Halloween, we aren't here for a ghost tour. Well, not really. My guide is Libby Wheeler, historian and member of the 20th Century Book Club. The club marked its 100th anniversary last month, and to celebrate, club members place flowers on the graves of four founding members, all of whom happen to be buried in Evergreen Cemetery in Fayetteville.
Okay, and I believe she is going to be right here. Mary J. Bocock Willis. She died in 1937. She was the really initiator of the book club, and she was married to a Presbyterian minister. And they were in Searcy.
She founded the Searcy Institute for Young Women. When she moved to Fayetteville with her husband, she was astounded that there wasn't a book club, a women's study group, because there were in other places, even in Arkansas.
And I think the reason was because the university was here and it had a library and there were other intellectual outlets for women maybe that weren't available in other towns. And she, along with three other women, founded the book club. Now, she was president from 1912 to 1916, and then she and her husband went to North Carolina.
She rejoined in 1936 for 1 year before she died. The purpose of the group is book study with some altruistic work. More on that in a bit. The 20th Century Club held its first meeting in September of 1912, meeting twice a month in people's homes. The first three books they researched were Tennyson's Idylls of the King, Thomas More's Utopia, and Henry VIII by Shakespeare.
And that took all year to do, though, meeting twice a month, because they had study questions, and people were assigned research projects to do relating to the period of that Thomas More lived in, and little sketches of Wolsey and other figures of the period. And it was very serious.
So serious, in fact, that there was a very strict roll call. Barbara Taylor, another member of today's book club, tells more.
People would often respond with a relevant quotation or a fact that related to the reading that was done. And this was beyond their assignments, which were more in-depth research on topics related to the book.
So, like, they would say, Libby Wheeler, and then...
Yes, and
you would respond.
I would give an example for the Tennyson book of chivalrous experiences of that period or something.
We walk to the northwest corner of Evergreen Cemetery. The other three founders are conveniently buried near one another.
Okay, on the left over here, we are looking for Lessie Stringfellow Reed. And Lessie was... a columnist and, was she the editor, Barbara?
Yes.
She was the editor and columnist of Roundabout Town for the Democrat, which was the predecessor to the Northwest Arkansas Times.
Lessie came to hold national office in the National Federation for Women's Clubs, working as their editor. The women's club movement at the time was a tremendously powerful force, socially and politically. Lessie Stringfellow Reed was a very unique person. In addition to being a newspaper woman, she was also a spiritualist. Adopted, Lessie was named after a brother, Leslie, who died as a young adolescent.
And they had seances at their house every night. They used Ouija boards. They did, you know, a number of things that to us seem quite outre. But at the time, perhaps not so much so. For example, one of the people that they became acquainted with and formed a friendship with was Robert Louis Stevenson, who was himself into spiritualism and the occult, if you will. But in the case of the Stringfellows, it was very much an effort to recapture their lost son and to stay in touch with him.
A bit of an eccentric, Lessie was strong-minded and smart. Plus, she had quite the book collection. The next 20th Century Book Club founder we visit is Lila Davis Pearson.
Mrs. Pearson.
Mrs. Pearson. She grew up in Sulphur Springs in Benton County and, again, loved books. She was a Sunday school teacher at the First Christian Church in Fayetteville. Wait a minute, it was the First Baptist Church in Fayetteville for 50 years and organized the Evergreen Cemetery Association. Her husband was a practicing attorney.
Interesting fact, the Pearsons adopted a young boy from the orphan train when it came through Fayetteville. There are still Pearsons practicing law in Fayetteville today. In fact, it was Mrs. Pearson's daughter who found the club's old yearbooks, which list the books and members for each year. We make our way to the fourth and final founder's grave.
Okay. Laurie Hughey was a speech teacher in Ohio, a young woman, very attractive. Her parents moved to Fayetteville, and she came to visit them, and she met Mr. Charles Appleby, who was a pioneer in the canning industry in this town.
The Applebys actually bought and restored the old Tibbetts house, the headquarters house. The club held many meetings there, even planting a tree in the yard. When the club was formed back in 1912, dues were a dollar, augmented by fines for tardiness, for not appearing at all, and there were big fines if you did not fulfill your duties. Fines have long since gone by the wayside, but there are still dues. The dues help the club perform their altruistic work. In addition to the four founders, there were eight charter members, one of which was the first librarian at Fayetteville Public Library, a benefactor of the club's charitable endeavors.
In the minutes of 1919, the club had a $25 annual pledge to the library, and that continues today. It's a little more than $25, yes, but not a whole lot.
And we started folding KUAF into our lists of organizations and that we would support.
And the Ozark Society, because we had members Lois Emhoff and Maxine Clark, who were very interested in saving the Buffalo River, and the International Exchange for Students that we've contributed to.
And Headquarters House was, again, one of the...
And I think we contributed $25 to the fence to put around Evergreen Cemetery to protect our heritage.
Because this is not a real fence.
Though they maintain the charitable heritage, the 20th Century Club is run just a bit differently. Life is much more hectic than it was 100 years ago. The club meets just once a month now, and only in the months September through May.
We don't study as much as we used to. In fact, there's been a real evolution in the way the club works, and it's been an evolution in the direction of informality. It used to be that books were assigned to members, and a little bit later, members were allowed to choose the books they reviewed, but they had to be approved
by a committee.
Yes, approved by a committee. And in alternate years, we either act as hostess, that is, the club meeting is at our home, and we prepare tea and coffee and dessert for the group, or we review a book, and the book that we choose is pretty much up to us.
But to mark the club's 100th year, the books to be read this year were chosen a bit differently.
This year, we are because it's our centennial year, choosing a book from each decade of our history. Well, almost a decade. We don't have quite enough months to do it in. And our first review this year was All Quiet on the Western Front, a book from World War I, which was a wonderful review.
And through history.
And the first fiction book that that was reviewed in the club was, I think, in 1919, The House of Mirth.
Did you notice that Libby and Barbara both are saying review? See, unlike most book clubs, only one person is required to read the book. Then they report on that book to the group. Unusual, but that doesn't mean that there isn't discussion or opinions. This year, Barbara will be performing the April review, reading Reinventing Womanhood by Carolyn Halbrin. It's from the 1970s and 80s. Libby won't be reviewing this year, though she did research and produce the club's history, which was an important job. It's the first few pages of the club's centennial member book. Each of the 24 members, see, they have a limit to membership. New members must be voted in. Each of the 24 is highlighted in this special yearbook, given the opportunity to tell about themselves and why they joined and loved the 20th Century Book Club. Here's Barbara.
I think that we wanted to join partly because of the members, because they're so interesting, the women who are members. And they really are in many, many ways. And it's a very congenial group. I think we like each other. We like getting together. We enjoy our monthly meetings and look forward to them.
So. Both Barbara and Libby, like most of the women of the club, are very involved in the community. As we are in the 21st century, no longer the 20th, there was some discussion about changing the club's name. But they decided they were very happy celebrating their roots. Obviously, they're interested in history. So the name remains. The club also maintains its original motto.
Esse cum videre, esse quam videre, which means to be but not to seem to be.
And in other words, to be genuine, to be real, not to pretend to be something other than what you are. So they were very down-to-earth women in many ways, too.
To be intellectual if you want to be, or to be have good women friends, but not to flaunt it and still be the mother and wife that was expected at that time.
The 20th Century Book Club celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. I spoke with members Libby Wheeler and Barbara Taylor at Evergreen Cemetery earlier this month.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and this is the fundraiser, the on-air fundraiser portion of our fall fundraiser for 2012. Amazing to think of a book club around 100 years now.
100 years, I
know. And knowing the first books. And, I think it helps us know, as Richard White, the historian who was on the program Monday, said, it so helps us know who we are now if we know more about who we were. We have not been around 100 years at KUAF.
No. 30?
Ish. Well, KUAF itself, nearly 40 now. Nearly 40. But as an NPR station, late 80s is when we became an NPR station. And because of support from listeners like you, we have grown and we have established a daily local program called Ozarks at Large, as well as added Talk of the Nation and increased our power. All those things have happened and continue to happen because of your support. The biggest part of our budget comes from you. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. Maybe you haven't been with us the past 20 years. Maybe you haven't been with us the past 20 months. Maybe you're a new arrival and you've just found KUAF. If you have never contributed before, we do have the $250 new contributor challenge from Road to Brezzo. If your first ever challenge or contribution comes in right now, we will match that up to $250. 1-800-522-5823. KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, celebrating the American spirit by uniting the power of art with the beauty of nature. The museum opens at 11 a.m. daily, except Tuesdays. More information available online at crystalbridges.org.
Think of your listening to KUAF as a lifetime of education. You listen because it engages you and stimulates new ways of thinking. Every day, you receive lessons in civics, science, and culture with access to some of the best minds locally and nationally. This is the value of an independent news service like KUAF, A lot of people who listen to KUAF believe that public radio is essential to democracy. Please take this opportunity to help keep this news service free and strong. Please call and become a financial supporter right now. Paul Corlett is waiting for your call. He's volunteering in the conference room. 575-5823 or 1-800-522-5823 or contribute online at supportkuaf.com, and thank you.
Supporting public radio is a very good value for your money. If you call your financial contribution pledge into 800-522-5823, your dollars go right back into the in-depth news programming that you enjoy on KUAF. NPR takes you around the world and around the block every day of the year. Your contribution makes this possible. Ozarks at Large, we take you to a cemetery, to the Buffalo River, to downtown Eureka Springs. We pay fees to NPR for each of the national programs that we have. This year, Morning Edition, for example, $108,000. Please help KUAF continue to bring you the best news coverage from around the world and from around the streets of Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley. You can do that by calling in your contribution, 575-5823, 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
There are so many great things about public radio, and one of them is that we don't tell you how much you have to contribute. You get to decide how much public radio means to you and how much you can contribute. The average pledge is just over $100. Maybe that's not right for you. A dollar a week, that's $52. You can call right now and make a pledge of $52. Or maybe a dollar a day, that's $365. Or maybe that's not right for you either. $10 a month, a pledge of $120.
Leave it up to you.
Right. It's totally up to you how much you can contribute and what it means to you. And you can, once you decide, you may call 575-5823 or 1-800-522-5823 or contribute online at supportkuaf.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra will kick off its season Saturday night. And this performance will be one for cello lovers. Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson has more.
They'll be performing Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Cellos as well as Cezanne's Cello Concerto No. 1. One of the performers will be Professor Stephen Gates, who's a professor of music here at the University of Arkansas and a cellist. He came by the KUAF studios to talk about the Vivaldi in which he'll perform, as well as the Cezanne's Concerto that'll feature the visiting cellist Allison Eldridge.
I guess I'm here because we're playing on that program. Concerto by Vivaldi for two cellos and orchestra. And we have a guest soloist that night, a young woman named Allison Eldridge, who is a wonderful cellist. And she is coming to play both the Saint-Saëns cello concerto and also this Vivaldi concerto for two cellos, which I'm playing the second cello part, she's playing the first, and it should be a lot of fun. Vivaldi wrote as hundreds of concertos, mostly for violin. He taught at a girls' orphanage, so he wrote these concertos for his students, and there are a lot of mostly solo violin concertos, but there are also concertos for almost any instrument that was around at the time, including mandolin, including piccolo, and including solo cello concertos, and these duo concertos. There's more than one concerto for two violins, and then there's this, it's the only one that he wrote for two cellos. And it's in the typical Vivaldi Baroque concerto form and style. It very much sounds like Vivaldi. It's in three movements with a kind of a quick, happy first movement, despite the G minor key, and then a very, very lyrical sort of Italianate slow movement where the two voices, the two solo cellos, really dominate. The orchestra is very sparse in the second movement, and the two cellos kind of go back and forth, just as you would imagine in an operatic duet kind of thing. And then the third movement, again, has lots of energy, and the two instruments are kind of tossing tunes back and forth. And so I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And that's not, I don't hear as many duet concertos as other things. Is that is that a longstanding tradition? Are there a lot of pieces?
Aren't a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot. I mean, relatively speaking, from the Baroque, there's a Bach two violin concerto. There's a oboe violin concerto by Bach. There's by Vivaldi. There's a four violin concerto by Bach. There's, a four harpsichord concerto. And this was that sort of thing, concerto, which was usually called a concerto grosso, but not always. In other words, a Baroque concerto where you'd have multiple soloists, really. And the Bach Brandenburg concertos, for example, fit that mold, and they're maybe the best known.
Right, of course. Those are obviously the famous. Everyone
the famous
knows those.
Ones. And every one of those has different soloists. And yet after that, very, very few. We have there's a famous Mozart Sinfonia Concertante with a violin and viola soloist. There's the Beethoven, the only Beethoven concerto I know with more than one soloist is called the Triple Concerto, which is a concerto for violin, solo cello, and solo piano. And the only one after that I know of off the top of my head is the Brahms Double Concerto for violin and cello. So it really, the 19th century was so much that heroic century with the soloist as virtuoso that there rarely were more than one soloist. But in the Baroque, it was sort of much more egalitarian sort of thing, where it was common to have more than one soloist.
And go ahead, talk about the Saint-Saëns.
Saint-Saëns concerto is arguably one of the two or three most famous solo concertos for cello and orchestra. It's a piece that every cellist studies on their way up to becoming a professional. And it's an absolutely delightful piece, and it really fits beautifully between the Vivaldi concerto, not chronologically, but sort of musically, between the Vivaldi concerto, which begins the program, and the 7th Beethoven symphony, which closes it. The Saint-Saëns is, in a way, just what, if you know Saint-Saëns at all, it's kind of just what you'd expect. It's three short movements connected together, so it's played without pause. The whole concerto takes only about 20 minutes. Lots of virtuosity for the cello soloist. Beautiful tunes. It has that sort of, hard to describe for me anyway, that sort of French style of, it's very, very suave and kind of sophisticated music, but not, you know, it doesn't, for example, have the depth of, say, a Beethoven symphony kind of thing. I heard a story once, I have no idea if it's true, that Saint-Saëns described himself as a first-rate second-class composer. and it's good. He's a very facile, good composer. He's not what we describe as a great composer, but I really think this is a great concerto. It's a wonderful concerto. And one of the reasons we all study it, we cellists, is that it's a lot of fun to play. The cello part goes beautifully with the orchestra part. And it should be a lot of fun. I mean, it's really a beautiful, planned out concert, as well as having a wonderful young soloist and closing with a Beethoven symphony.
Stephen Gates, music professor at the University of Arkansas, will be playing cello in the Vivaldi Concerto for two cellos as part of the Arkansas Philharmonic kickoff concert of this season at the Aaron Arts Center in Bentonville. The other featured guest cellist is Allison Eldridge. She'll be performing Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1. In addition, as Gates mentioned, they'll be performing the entirety of Beethoven's 7th. If you would like more information on that concert, that Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., you can go to arkansasphilharmonic.org or call 479-841-4644. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
It is Thursday, October 25th, 2012. I'm Christina Thomas inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor with Northwest Arkansas on newspapers.
So here's some fun for tonight.
Sweet.
An artist reception for Emily Gerard, who's showing Intensive Landscape at the Fine Arts Center Gallery at the University, 5:30 today, and that's free. One book, one community. This guy is fascinating. David Shipler, who was a correspondent for the New York Times, was bureau chief all over the place. Fascinating. And he will speak tonight at 6:30 in the Arkansas Union Ballroom at the University in Fayetteville. His talk is free. And the Turnpike Troubadours.
What is a Turnpike Troubadour?
They are country rockers. And they are playing at George's Majestic Lounge at 9 o'clock tonight. According to What's Up Music writer Kevin Kinder, they had a 2009 release called Diamonds and Gasoline. And debuted just outside the top 50 on the Billboard 200 chart in early May. Tickets to the 9 o'clock show are $13.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Kyle.
Thank you very much, Christina. I'm Kyle Kellums inside the Richard B. Atkinson studio at KUAF, and this is the on-air portion of our fall fundraiser for 2012. 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com. Supportkuaf.com. This is... Welcome back.
Excuse me.
That's okay. One of the things that we take pride in at Ozarks at Large is informing you of what happens throughout the region. And the almost daily visits from Becca Martin Brown of Northwest Arkansas Newspapers helps us do that in a very quick, concise way. She usually has Monday through Thursday about three or four things that you need to do in the next 24 hours, remind you that you need to do, and then on Friday and on Sunday morning on our weekend edition of the program, a bit longer list of what's going to be happening throughout the weekend. We appreciate Becca's efforts, and it's just one more way we keep you informed. We have Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net that keeps us up on Arkansas business and politics. He's going to be covering the legislative session for us very closely beginning in January. We appreciate all the partners we have, but you know who's the biggest partner we have?
Our listeners.
That's right. Because without your support, we would not bring you Ozarks at Large or Great Classical Music with Katie Hendrickson or Fresh Air with Terry Gross or Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon. Without your support, we wouldn't be here at all. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823.
Or supportkuaf.com. KUAF delivers straight stuff. KUAF delivers news reporting with accuracy, timeliness, and substance. And we deliver high-quality journalism in a way that's engaging and informative. When you make a financial donation during this fund drive, you're paying for news reporting with integrity and also election coverage that you can trust. Please call KUAF at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Or to make it easy on you, it's 575-KUAF. Or you can donate online at supportkuaf.com. Just takes a couple minutes.
At the most. And if you've gone through the process before, it probably takes even less than that. If you haven't gone through the process before, if you've been meaning to support KUAF, if you're just now realizing how important it is that KUAF is here because of listener contributions, and you're about to become a first-time contributor, up to $250 for first-time contributors will be matched by Ro DeBrezzo. So thank you, Ro, and thank you, everyone who has contributed so far this October by mail, phone, and on the web. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And with us is Jody Beznoska, Vice President of Communications at Walnut Center.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Yes.
Happy Pledge Week.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm glad you all are still hearty of voice and ready to go.
We are. We are.
Well, good.
We're busy, but over at Walnut Center, you're just as busy.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. We had a really fun week last week with two 10x10 art series shows. Very, very different 10x10 art series shows. And we have another one this week, tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. This is also very different. This is a radio theatrical play called Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. And it's created and performed by a company called L.A. Theater Works, one of our favorites. So we've brought them back three or four times, I think. And it's going to be really, really fun. And it's going to be a really full house.
Oh, good.
So if you want to, if you're a Janeite or you're a Pride and Prejudice fan and you are planning to come to this, I would not actually wait to get them at the door.
Get them now.
We're almost sold out, so you might want to get them in advance.
Now, speaking of tickets,
yes.
Tomorrow morning,
yes,
the tickets to the general public for the Flaming Lips.
Correct. The University of Arkansas Headliner Committee is bringing in the Flaming Lips, and this is the committee that the students, this, there's a fee that the students pay, and then as a, in exchange for that, there are shows that they get tickets to. But luckily, they also allow to sell some tickets to the general public. So we will have those tickets on sale at the Walton Arts Center website tomorrow morning starting at 9 o'clock.
And that show is November 4th?
Correct. So it's almost just over a week away.
Right.
So real fast turnaround on that one. But that's exciting. It's always... We kind of wait with eager anticipation to see what the Headliners Committee is going to come up with.
Well, I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
If I made a list of bands that are still in existence that I have not seen that I want to see at the top.
Is Flaming Lips.
Is Flaming Lips. So this is big. Very good. You also have an ogre coming.
Yes. A big green dude is about to fly into Northwest Arkansas. Yeah. So Shrek opens on Tuesday. Wow, really? On Tuesday.
Yes.
That is October 30th, the day before Halloween. Mm-hmm. And we will have Shrek here for 8 performances. So that will run Tuesday through Sunday of next week. And we have, it's sort of perfect that this giant green creature is coming to town during during Halloween week. And we are going to have all kinds of festivities going on related to Halloween. Anyone who comes to the show in costume will get a Halloween treat.
Oh, fun.
We will have trick-or-treating in our lobby on Halloween night. We have a really great ticket deal on Halloween evening. And then also the Three Blind Mice from the show will be up at the Fayetteville Square for the trick-or-treating on Wednesday, too. So
And on Halloween, on Ozarks at Large, someone from the cast will be on the air with us.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, once they get here, I get the impression this is a really fun, energetic, an interesting group who put this show on. I mean, you would kind of have to be if you're performing Shrek eight nights a week. You know, you got to have a good sense of humor for that.
Right. But
we should say about Shrek that it is, while it's great for all ages, I mean, the official phrase we use is that it's good for ogres and ogresses of all ages. Mm-hmm. It is a full-length Broadway show. So it's a good, solid 2 hours, 15, 20 minutes. So, you know, if you have a little one who doesn't have a really good attention span, just keep that in mind as you come to the show. But that's going to be quite fun. We've been waiting a long time for Shrek.
All right, Jane Austen, Flaming Lips, Shrek, in the couple minutes we have left, what else should we know about?
Well, we should know about our second show on the Starlight Jazz Series on November 9th, Jane Bennett and Hilario Duran with Candido Camero.
Which is a big deal.
I mean,
very, very big deal.
Very big deal. He's a legend, really. That's November 9th. There'll be 2 performances. That's in Star Theater. And then on Veterans Day, we really would love to see a lot of people come out to see this show because it's interesting. It's called Letters Home, and it's a theatrical piece created directly from letters from soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow.
So it seems fairly appropriate on Veterans Day.
That's the 11th of November.
I saw the poster for it as I was driving down west, I think, yesterday. And it looks like, I mean, just the picture looks emotional and, yeah.
I think emotional is a good word. I think, you know, that it will be a little raw. This is probably not for little kids. You know, I mean, these are soldiers writing letters home. So you can
imagine. It's real.
It's real. It's what their words are and what they're actually saying. So we're pretty excited for that on the 11th. And then just one more thing. We have another 10 by 10 coming up on November 15th. Eileen Ivers and the Immigrant Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. I can't wait for her.
And Caravan's Rye will be again later in this season year. The first one. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I wish I had seen it. I wasn't here, and I regret that I didn't get to see it. But what a great project. Mm-hmm. I mean, trying to increase understanding between American and Muslim cultures through music and through art. So we will have a second performance of Caravanserai in April.
Right.
If you missed this one, you got another shot to see some great
music. It'll be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a different kind of music, but well worth your time.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, guys.
Jody Beznoska is Vice President for Communications with Walton Arts Center.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And coming up in just a couple of moments, NPR News. That will be followed by Talk of the Nation on KUAF. Still, you have a chance. Now, I know that the noon time, this is lunchtime. A lot of people tell me they hear me in the car or during lunch, maybe or something like that, it's not the easiest time to get to a phone or a computer and make a pledge.
Right.
That's why it's so important that if you are near a phone or a computer right now and you've been meaning to make a contribution, you do so now. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Online is supportkuaf.com.
We mentioned earlier the different giving levels that you can do, but you can also pay in a variety of ways.
Right.
You can call right now and we can run your credit card. I mean, right now we have somebody from the University of Arkansas Gift Services here to run your credit card right now. Or you can send in a check. 9 South School. Or we can also deduct from your bank account, like a monthly draft from bank account, or if you're a university employee like we are, deduct it directly from your payroll. And we make it really easy for you. The numbers to call are 575-5823 or 1-800-522-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com.
KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711. 20% chance of showers tonight, lows from 34 to 41. Sunshine tomorrow, highs from the mid to upper 50s. Friday night clear, lows from 28 to 35.
Burr.
Heavy jacket. Only in the Ozarks can you battle mosquitoes and sleet on the same day, but that's what may be happening. Thanks to everyone who has called and contributed so far. We've got great momentum, but we don't want to stop now. Don't forget the new member challenge from Roe DeBrezzo is out there, up to $250 in your first-time contribution. Roe will match that. 1-800-522-5823, 575-5823. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers.
Witcherville.
Nicely done. 1 minute after 1 o'clock, the news next.
From NPR.